Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
One of the most loved characters of English literature is that of Sherlock Holmes, a man who never even lived. He was a fictitious character made up for the purpose of writing books. As a detective, Sherlock Holmes had no equal. He could look at a man who was walking down the street and quickly determine what part of town he lived in, what he did for a living, how old he was, the general condition of his health, and whether or not he had children. All of these things that great detective could tell just by observing him, just by looking for outward signs that other men would miss, although they were obvious to Sherlock Holmes. In a spiritual sense, there are outward signs of what we are inside. There are many things that show on the outside that indicate the way we think, the way that we would behave when others cannot see us. What do the things people see about you on the outside tell them about your inside? What do they tell them about the spiritual man inside? That's our topic today.
Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you, Jim, and we thank all of you for joining us today for this period of Bible study. Let me encourage you to take your Bible and open it up if you're in a place where that's convenient for you. Also get a pen and a piece of paper and prepare to study along with us. Now, 2 weeks ago, we began a study entitled, Your Sin Will Find You Out. This, of course, is not an original title. It comes from Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. It is an assurance, however, that man cannot sin and then escape that sin by ignoring it. We know this is true as we began our study 2 weeks ago by noticing that God is one who exposes sin. He'll not turn his eyes away from it in that he ignores it. Rather, God does expose man's sin. He did so even though man tries to hide his sin from God. God's very nature is that of light, and light shows those things that are wrong. It dispels the darkness and brings clearly and manifestly to light those things that are wrong. As we noticed last week, God not only exposes man's sin, but God punishes sin. Now, I know this is not a very popular topic, and many preachers don't like to talk about God punishing someone. We don't like to think of someone being punished, especially ourselves. However, the Bible is very clear on the matter, that God does punish sin. Man was warned of this from the very beginning of time, in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3, and in the giving of the law of Moses in Exodus chapter 20, God promised man that if he did not obey him, he would be punished. Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The one who has done the wrong will suffer for doing that wrong. Even today we see that God holds the ultimate penalty for sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we learn that the wages of sin is death. If man will not turn from his sin, then he will die in his sin. This is a righteous judgment from God, as all of his judgments are, Romans chapter 1 and verse 32. And that justice of God cannot be circumvented. We cannot go around it. We cannot escape it. We finished our study last week by noticing that King David in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 sinned and sinned greatly. And even though he was the most powerful man in all of the world, he could not escape his sin. He still had to answer for it. And such is certainly true of all of us today. Now we turn back to our title, Your Sin Will Find You Out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now there are many different ways that this might happen, and I would like to explore just a few in our remaining minutes. First of all, our sin may find us out in our body. We may suffer for it physically, and there may be physical signs of our sin in our body. I think of the drunkard, the one who turns to the bottle and drinks alcohol. In Proverbs chapter 23, beginning in verse 29, the wise man teaches us what all of us should learn about alcohol. He asks the questions, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Then he answers those questions. Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me. But I was not hurt. They've beaten me, but I did not feel it. That when shall I awaken, that I may seek another drink? This represents to us a man who is so given over to alcohol that even when he comes out of his stupor and sees that his body is battered and beaten and injured, he still wants to turn back to another drink. Our body can bear in it the sins that we choose to commit. I think of those who are sexually promiscuous, who engage in sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and in doing so, those who engage in sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and in doing so, pick up a disease. Many today are dying because they are picking up diseases through sexual activity that cannot be cured. Our body often shows the fact that we are sinners and have done that which is sinful. We need to also understand that our body might show the marks of doing those things that are right. It's our choice. See, Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 17, "From now on, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the marks he bore were those from suffering that he endured for the cause of Christ. If we're going to wear out our bodies, let's wear them out in the service of the Lord. If our bodies are going to show marks in them, let them be the marks that come from being faithful to God, not given over to sexual appetites or to drunkenness. Let our bodies show that which is right, because this body is temporary. The time will come when it will be gone. The time will come when we who are faithful will have it changed into something that is immortal, that will allow us to live forever in heaven with God. We need to be sure that we are doing the things that are right, because if we do wrong, our sin will find us out, oftentimes in our own bodies. Our sin will also show in our character. We become what we think about the most. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we're told, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." A man's character is often demonstrated by his actions, but those are chosen by his heart. So our actions show what kind of person we are on the inside. It shows what our true character is. Jesus said in Luke 6, beginning in verse 43, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs of thorns, nor grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." We say things and do things because we first think them. That's the reason it's so important for us to guard our heart, to be careful about the things that we think about, because they will manifest themselves as words and actions at a later time. It is because of this that Paul wrote to the Philippians and said in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." We need to turn our heart, turn our mind and our thoughts to these good things, these things that are good for us, these things that bring about praiseworthy situations, these things that are pure and that are true. Now, in my opinion, this is one of the hardest of all commands in the Bible to obey. It means that not only must I govern the things that I do, but I have to even begin to govern the things that I think about. I have to control not only my body, but I must also control my mind. I must turn it toward, steer it toward those things that are right, those things that are good. By doing so, then my actions will follow, and my words will follow. Now, in the book of James, James teaches us much about the tongue and the destructive force that the tongue has. He talks about it being a fire and how a little flame kindles a great fire, and the tongue is capable of doing that as well. Because of that, our tongue must be guarded. He also teaches us that the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Although the rudder is small, it steers a great ship. We need to understand the true power of the tongue. And when he likened it to an animal, he likened it to a wild animal, an animal that cannot be let off of its leash. It cannot be turned to its own devices, but rather it must constantly be controlled. How can I possibly do that? How can I be so careful in my words? The answer is by being careful first in my heart. Be careful about the things that I think about, the things that I meditate on, for from those things the mouth will speak. So we see God as one who exposes sin, and God is one who punishes sin, and our sins will show themselves either in our body or in our character, and even if we fool everyone here on earth for our entire lives, our sins will show themselves in the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment is as sure as death, and we will stand before God. Now, some cover their sins while here on earth, but 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24 says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Some men we know when they die that they've lived a wicked life. We can see it. It's very easy to tell by their choice and actions. But other men we may not know, or we may have thought them to be righteous, yet they were not righteous men. Those men, their sins still follow. They will still give an account. Their sins will follow them into judgment. Should we be afraid that our sins will find us out? If we're not repentant of it, they certainly will be there in the end. But why not do what is right? Why not hear God's word and believe it? Repent of our sins and confess Jesus as the Christ. Be baptized in water and have those sins washed away. Why not do that now and not have to fear, because the sins will then be gone? God has told us what we must do in order to have our sins remitted. Let's all obey that. Do exactly what God says, and then there's no reason to fear that our sins will find us out, for our sins will be washed away.